بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعليه وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we begin our class today with some muraja'a and review from the previous class. And in our previous class, the last chapter that we discussed, mentioned by Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, yarhamukallah, was the chapter Babu Uquq al-Walidain, the chapter of disobeying the parents. What is the wisdom of mentioning this chapter here? What is the benefit of this chapter, this title? Ahsanti, Allahumma barik. Just like we have to learn the good things, and we have to learn the correct creed, we have to learn the correct deen, we have to learn the right speech, and we have to learn the good manners, and we have to learn the sunnah and tawheed, the tawheed and the sunnah. Likewise, we have to learn shar, and we have to learn about evil. We have to learn about the bad ways, and we have to learn about the bad manners, and we have to learn about the ways of wickedness and the ways of the criminals and the corrupt people. Huh? Why? Why do we learn about the good things?
So we will do it.
So we will do it. Ahsanti. Why do we learn about the bad things? So we won't do it. Because some people, they don't want to do bad things, but they do them anyways, and they think that they're good. Why?
Because they didn't learn the bad
things. Because they don't know that they're bad things. They don't know that they're bad things, so they want to do good things. But since they don't know the difference of bad and good, sometimes they have good intention, but they do bad things. Will they be excused for that? Can somebody say, well, I have a good intention? Is that enough? Is it enough to have a good intention only? No, it has to be also according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to learn the good things so that we can be upon goodness. And we have to learn the bad things so that we can stay away from it. There were some lines of poetry that we all agreed to memorize in the previous class. Who memorized it? Who memorized it? Tafadhali. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Allahumma barik, Allahumma barik. Aywa, Safwan, MashaAllah. Safwan, he memorized the poetry. عرفت الشر لا للشر لكن لتوقيه ومن لم يعرف الشر من الخير يقع فيه. اللهم بارك اللهم بارك. Okay, what's that mean? عرفت الشر لا للشر لكن لتوقيه. I know about the evil, not for the sake of the evil, but so I can be protected from it, so I can be aware of it. ومن لم يعرف الشر من الخير يقع فيه. And whoever does not know the difference between evil and good, then he will fall into the evil. So we have to learn the good things, of course. Like, and the best of all good is at Tawheed. And likewise, we have to learn the Sunnah. Naam, and this is all goodness, alhamdulillah. But also, in order to apply that properly, and also in order to understand that correctly, we have to learn about shirk, and we have to learn about bid'ah, and we have to learn about also the actions that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, so that we can stay away from them. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned another chapter. We continue reading. He says, بَابُ لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَعَنَ وَالِدَيْهِ. The chapter that he has entitled, that Allah's curse is upon the one who curses his parents. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَعَنَ وَالِدَيْهِ, that Allah will curse the one who curses his parents. What does لَعَن mean? لَعَنَ يَلْعَنُ إِلْعَنْ لَعَنًا. اللَّعَن is a type of dua. For somebody? Against somebody. It's a type of dua against somebody. وَاللَّعَن it means curse. But the word curse in English has different meanings. One of them is to say bad words, to curse somebody. That's not what is meant here. And la'an, this word la'an, it has that meaning in a general sense, to curse somebody and call them bad names. But really what is intended is to say to them, somebody will say to another, la'anak Allah. Huh? Alayka la'anatullah. Like this, he will say that to somebody. Or he will say, la'anahullah. Like this, may Allah's la'an be upon you. What is intended here? Al-ib'adu an rahmatillah. Al-ib'ad an rahmatillah. Meaning, may Allah take... If he said that to somebody, he's saying to him, may Allah take you or take that person far from the mercy of Allah. May Allah never have mercy to him. That's what he's saying whenever he says that. Some people, they'll say that to their parents. And they'll put the la'an on their mom. And they'll say, meaning, may Allah never have mercy to you. Is that nice? How merciful were our parents to us? We have seen so many classes before. How merciful our parents were to us when we're so weak and we can't even change our clothes and we can't even eat. But our mom take care of us and feed us and look after us and keep us safe. And likewise our father. And then somebody would grow up and then their tongue becomes strong enough to talk. And then they say to their mother that statement. Or they say to their father that statement. And some Muslims say that and they take it lightly. And it's easy for them to say that because they're misguided and they're bad. And that's not nice. But we have to be careful. What Al-Bukhari is indicating here in this chapter is that there's a narration about this. And whoever said that to his parents, then really he's bringing that curse on himself from Allah. Now, if Allah does not have mercy on us, we will be destroyed. If Allah does not have mercy on somebody, he is a true loser in this life and in the hereafter. So this is a very bad dua to say to one's parents and against one's parents. So Al-Bukhari, he mentioned with his chain to Abu Al-Tufayl. Abu Al-Tufayl, he's from the last of the companions to live. Rather, he is the last one to live. Abu Al-Tufayl, he died in the year 100. Before him was Anas ibn Malik. He died in the year 94. Radiallahu anhuma. But Abu Tufayl, he's the last of the companions to die. He's the last of the companions to die. Amr ibn Wathila, Abu Tufayl, radiallahu anhu. He says, Su'ila Aliyun, radiallahu anhu. Ali, he was asked. Who was Ali? Ali ibn Man. Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib. Who knows the nasab of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Ali ibn
Abi Talib ibn
Hashim
ibn Abdul
Manaf ibn Qusay. Ya shall ila Adnan. Sahih. Liana Abu Talib. Abu Talib huwa akhu Abdullah. Alladhi huwa Abu an-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Ahsant. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he is the first young boy to accept Islam, ever. He's the first boy to accept Islam, radiyallahu anhu, and used to live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and under his care. Naam, and he's the nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also he is al-Khalifa al-Rabi' al-Rashid, radiyallahu anhu. He's the fourth Khalifa after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Uthman. Who was the first Khalifa? He's known as Khalifa to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalifa to Rasulullah. The first Khalifa, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Khalifa to Rasulullah is Abu Bakr. Who was the first one known as Amirul Mu'mineen? Umar radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, he's Khalifa to Rasulullah. And Umar, he is Amirul Mu'mineen. Naam, and he's the Khalifa of Abu Bakr. He's the second Khalifa. Radiallahu anhuma. Who was the third Khalifa? Uthman ibn Affan. Radiallahu anhu. And the fourth one, we have Ali Ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and he is the one who is being asked a question in this narration. Ali radiallahu anhu. It was said to him, "Hakhassakum an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi shay'in lam yukhassa bihi an-nas?" Afwan, lam yukhassa bihi an-nas? Kafatan. He was asked, "Did the Prophet give you something specific sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he did not give to the rest of the people?" Some people might think that, right? Some people might think that, even especially the misguided people, they try to lie about that, and some people that don't understand properly, they think that. And they think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said something to his family that he didn't say to the rest of the Muslims, huh? And that he gave them some special knowledge that he didn't give to the rest of the Muslims. And in reality, some people think, oh yeah, maybe that he did that. That's his family, but that's a really bad thing to say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is al-Amin, and he is the most trustworthy, and he is also Khatam al-Nabiyyin al-Muqaffi al-Aqib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's no Prophet after him. Therefore, he has been entrusted to convey the message to all mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Now, he was sent to all mankind. So he did not tell some people some special knowledge and hide it from others. He didn't hide any of the knowledge, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, he shared the knowledge and he conveyed the knowledge as he was commanded with all of the people. With all of the people. And he told all of the people. And this was his obligation. But some people, they try to claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his family some special knowledge that nobody else has. Here, Ali, he's being asked about that, and he's going to clarify the lies of the liars. What does he say? He said, he was asked, "Did the Prophet give you anything special that he did not give the rest of the people?" قَالَ مَا خَصَّنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَخُصَّ بِهِ النَّاسِ. The Prophet did not give us anything special that he did not give special to the people. He did not specify with us anything that he did not specify with the people, meaning he gave us everything. All of us, we have the same thing. Huh? I know what you know, and he taught me what he taught you. He says, إِلَّا مَا فِي قِرَابِ سَيْفِي, except for this little piece right here that's inside my sword. He said, ثُمَّ أَخْرَجَ الصَّحِيفَ, and he took out a piece of paper. Inside of his sword, any fi qirab al-sayf, it's also known as al-ghimd. Ghimd al-sayf is the piece where the sword goes inside. Where does the sword go inside? The sheath. Huh? The piece that you hold it inside so you don't cut yourself. Inside that piece there, he pulled out some paper. He pulled out some paper that he had written some narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. And he said, this is what I have. فَإِذَا فِيهَا مَكْتُوبٌ. Inside that piece of paper, what does it say? لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. May the curse of Allah is upon those who slaughter for other than Allah. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ سَرَقَ مَنَارَ الْأَرْضِ. And the curse of Allah is upon those who steal the signpost of the earth on the land. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَعَنَ وَلِدَيْهِ. And the curse of Allah is upon those who curse his parents. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ آوَى مُحْدِيثًا. And the curse of Allah is upon the one who gives refuge and protection to the criminals and the innovators and the bad people. To the criminals and the innovators and the bad people. So this is something that Ali, he was aware of, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, but he didn't make it special to him, rather he told it to the rest of the people, and all of them know. And it has reached the Ummah. So therefore, those people who claim that Ali radiallahu anhu, he has some knowledge that the Prophet or that the rest of the Ummah didn't have, then right here we see that those people are liars. Those people are liars. Particularly, they're known as Shia, but they're not Shia. Really they're Rafidah. And even in their origin, and the imams from them, they claim to be Muslims, but they're not Muslims because they make shirk with Allah, iyadhan billah. And they lie on the Prophet, and they lie on Allah, and they lie on the companions, and they lie on Ali radiallahu anhu. So we shouldn't be deceived by them or tricked by them. Now we shouldn't be deceived by them, and we shouldn't be tricked by them and their claims. Or they say that they love the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was married to Aisha, who was the daughter of Abu Bakr, and he was married to Hafsa, who was the daughter of Umar, and he married two of his daughters to Uthman. Subhanallah, huh? And then but you know what they say? They say that Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, they're not even Muslims. These people. And they lie. They're liars. They're liars. The best Muslims ever Huh? After the prophets and messengers is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali, radiallahu anhum jami'an. In any case, we see the point of mentioning this narration that here the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the curse of Allah is upon the one who curses his parents. The curse of Allah is upon the one who curses his parents. But he began in the narration, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. The curse of Allah is upon the one who slaughters to other than Allah. And because slaughtering has to be done for the sake of Allah, and ذَبَح, and the udhiyah, and the lights like this, it has to be done in the name of Allah. Somebody who slaughters a sheep, or somebody who slaughters a camel, or somebody who slaughters a cow. Who created the cow and that sheep and that camel? Where did it come from?
Allah.
Uh-huh. Where did they come? Where did the cows come from? They used to be in bellies too. You know that? Huh? Similar to like people. They were also in bellies too. And the camels also. They're inside the bellies of big camels. Camel of mommy camels. Mother camels. Naqa. And also the sheep also. But Allah creates them in there. And Allah creates them and brings them out of there and provides for them and sustains them. For what reason? What's the wisdom behind the camels? What's the wisdom behind the sheep? What's the benefit from the cows? Who gets to use them and benefit from them? Allah, He created them for us to use. Allah, He created them for us to use. For us to eat from and to drink from. And to ride on and to carry our stuff on. And the likes like this. So this is a blessing from Allah. So if, and Allah has allowed us to slaughter them and to eat them. It's, we can eat hamburgers. And we can eat steaks. And ribs. Yummy, huh? It's lunchtime. All of these things, this is from the blessing of Allah. So some people, you know what they do? They have that cow or that sheep or that camel that was created by Allah and given to us to use and benefit from. Allah, He blessed us with these blessings. Intabihi. He blessed us with these blessings. And then what did they do? They slaughter in the name of somebody else. And they slaughter for the sake of somebody else. Some of them, they go to the graves and they slaughter them for the people in the graves. Some of them, they slaughter them for the rich and the wealthy and the leaders to honor them. And some of them, they slaughter them for the jinn and the lights like this. And that's very bad. And the one who does that, in reality, he thinks he's trying to help himself. But really, he's bringing in the curse of Allah upon him. May the curse of Allah be upon those who slaughter for other than Allah. Slaughtering for other than Allah is shirk. Shirk. Now, the one who created the animal and provided it for us, then this is the one that we must slaughter in His name. Now, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and then the animal is slaughtered in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. The next part of the narration, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ سَلَقَ مَنَارَ الْأَرْضِ. Also, the curse of Allah is upon the one who steals the signpost of the earth. Yani, this narration has come. These wordings have come in more than one narration. And also from other than the narration of Adi. So this is not something that is special for him. And this is what he's clarifying. And in these narrations, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. This is a known narration from the Prophet ﷺ. His companions have narrated. Likewise, this narration about the curse of Allah is upon those who change the signpost of the earth. Meaning back in those days, for example, they would know where they're going in the roads. They'll know where they're going in the roads because they'll have like signs there. But they'll have like rocks there or trees there. Or for example, like even in our days, we have like on the sign it says, you say you want to go to this city. It says, for example, you want to go to Texas. It says go right. Somebody will turn it around and go left. And then so what happens, somebody's traveling, he thinks he wants to go to Texas, and he's supposed to go right, but somebody changed the arrow to where it's left. And instead of going right, he goes left. What's going to happen to him? He's going to get lost. Huh? But in our days, maybe it's not so bad, he's just going to stop at a gas station. In their days, they didn't have gas stations. They're traveling in the desert, they're traveling in wilderness, they're traveling, there's no places to stop and get water and drink. So people would, if they change the direction signs, then people will get lost and get hurt. And that's very bad. That's not nice, right? Somebody says, okay, we're going to follow the sign. But then somebody changed the sign to the other direction. And then they get lost. This person, the curse of Allah is upon him. Another meaning of this narration likewise is the people, for example, they have different signs that they know their property from, like neighbors. to people who are neighbors, they have like signs like a fence or something that they know this is their property. Somebody will come when he thinks nobody's looking and he'll move it over a little bit so that his yard is a little bit bigger. Huh? Stealing the property of his neighbor. This is bad. Changing the signs of the earth, changing the marking points of the earth, and either the roads or likewise of the property. All of this is not acceptable. All of this is a very, very bad sin. Huh? Is this a major sin? Are these major sins? Huh? لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ غَيْرَ مَنَاعَ الْأَرْضِ Huh? أَوْ سَرَقَ مَنَارَ الْأَرْضِ Are these major sins? Huh? Yes. How do we know they're major sins? We talked about this before. Because the curse of Allah is there. The curse of Allah is there. We mentioned that. Who can remind us of the signs of major sins? Huh? There are several of them that the ulama have mentioned how we can tell if a sin is a major sin. One of them we hear if there's a la'an. If the la'an is mentioned. Okay, that's one of them. One of the brothers mentioned also likewise that if a specific punishment is mentioned, a specific punishment like hudud, huh? A legal punishment is prescribed in this life for the action. Uh-huh. What else? A threat of the hellfire is mentioned. Mm-hmm. What else? That forbidden, that not everything that's forbidden is a major sin. Huh? Forbidden in the Quran and the Sunnah. This is how there. That's what we're discussing here. Barakallahu fikum. There are things that's forbidden in the Quran and the Sunnah, but some of them are major sins and some of them are minor sins. And to perpetrate what Allah has forbidden in His Quran or the Prophet has forbidden in the Sunnah, this is a sin. But those things that have been forbidden, they're not all one stage, they're not all one level, they're not all one severeness, any of the severity, it changes, it is different, fluctuates, it varies. Some of them are greater than others. Some of them are greater than others. How can we tell the great ones, the major sins? Uh-huh. We mentioned some of them we have left. Huh? If the anger of Allah is mentioned likewise. Or maybe even specifically it will say, these are major sins. Like we've seen in the previous class, من أكبر الكبائر. نعم ألا ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر. Huh? أو الكبائر سبع. The major sins are seven like this. And we've seen before, Ibn Umar, he mentioned there were nine of them. In any case, we know the major sins like this in this way. So this is a major sin here because there's a curse. The curse of Allah is mentioned. Now, also he says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَعَنَ وَالِدَيْهِ The curse of Allah is upon the one who curses his parents. Somebody might say, who would curse their parents? And only somebody who is a true lowlife would talk bad about his parents. His mom would feed him and take care of him and clothe him and be so nice to him and show him so much mercy. And then he'll go outside and talk bad about her and put the curse of Allah on her. And make dua against her. And she probably just fed him and clothed him and took care of him and sent him on his way. And then he goes out and he says those bad things about his mom. Oh, that's so bad. Another way that a person will curse his parents, and this is something that we have to pay attention to, is that a man, he will go outside, or even a woman, and he will curse somebody else's parents, and that person will curse his parents. Huh? He will go curse that other person's parents. He will say, may your parents be cursed. He'll say that to that person. So then the person, he'll say back, and your parents too. So now he cursed his own parents. How did he do that?
Because he cursed the other parents.
Uh-huh. Because he cursed the other parents, that made that person curse his parents. The reason why his parents got talked bad about is because he talked bad about the other person's parents first. So that happened. He only talked bad about his parents because he started like that. So this is something that's very important to understand. That the one who starts some bad things, he also is going to pay for that. He pays for the bad thing that he did. And even if other bad things come because of that, he also is going to be in trouble for that too. He's also going to be in trouble for that too. So this person, he's going to be in trouble for cursing his parents. Cursing that man's parents, and he's going to be in trouble for that man cursing his parents. You understand? Because he's the reason that man cursed his parents. He's the reason that man cursed his parents. So if somebody does some bad stuff, and that's the reason for more bad stuff to happen, that person, he's going to bear the weight of that, all of that. the sin of that, all of that. So we have to be careful. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man da'a ila huda, kana lahu mithli, kana lahu mithlu ajri man amila bihi." Now, and "Man da'a ila dalalatin kadhalika, alayhi mithli, alayhi mithlu wizri man amila bihi." أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that whoever calls to guidance, then he will have the reward of that, and the reward of the one who applies that. Likewise, he'll benefit from that, but also the one who calls to misguidance, then he will have the sin of that, and he will have the sin of those who follow that. Likewise, he will share in that sin. And so we have to be careful about the things that we do. And we're going to be held accountable for our actions. We're going to be held accountable for our actions. And then after this, he said in the narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'ana Allahu man awa muhditha. The curse of Allah is upon the one who protects the muhdith. The muhdith here is referring to a criminal, and somebody who is bad, and somebody who did something that, and the police are looking for him, or the government is looking for him, and he did something bad, and he did a crime, and he did some evil things, and then somebody will protect him and keep him safe from being taken into custody, and keep him safe from the authorities from catching him. The ones who keep this bad person safe, the curse of Allah is upon him. And likewise, the muhdith also, another meaning, is the one who is an innovator, and the one who protects the innovators, and the people who talk bad, who innovate in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he protects them, and he keeps them safe, and the likes, and he aids and supports them. Then likewise, the curse of Allah is upon him, even if he was not innovating himself. And the other one, even if he was not doing the crime himself, but he's protecting the criminal, or, and he's keeping him safe, and he's giving him refuge. Or he's protecting the innovator, and he's giving him keeping him safe, and he's giving him refuge, and defending him in the likes like this. Then this is all considered here, that person, the curse of Allah will be upon him. What about if someone's relative, does the curse still count? Now, somebody should not curse their relatives. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنْ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا لَعَانِ وَلَا فَاحِشْ الْبَذِيءِ. That the believer, he is not somebody who talks bad about others and picks out their faults, and he is not someone who curses others likewise, and he's not somebody who has a foul tongue, he doesn't have bad speech. So the people who curse others in general, then they have a great sin. And cursing others is a major sin. And it's not permissible, and it's not the way of a believer. And even to curse somebody's relatives is even worse, because they're the ones who they're nearest to us. They're nearest to us in blood. So therefore, they have the most right for our kindness, and for our mercy, and for our gentleness. So therefore, to curse the relative is also not from the way of the believer. It's not permissible, and it is haram. And if somebody cursed somebody else and that caused them to curse them, they're going to have the sin of that. This is a general ruling here. But any specifically here, the parents. It doesn't matter. Somebody, if he's a criminal, you cannot protect them. No, you cannot protect them. If he's a criminal and he committed a crime, and the authority is looking for him, he cannot be protected. If he's a criminal and he committed a crime, or if he's an innovator, he cannot be protected, whether he's from the family or not from the family. This is not an excuse. This is not an excuse to protect and hide criminals. La. People who are criminals, they commit crimes. For example, somebody killed somebody and then they want to protect him. No. Hide him. La. That's not permissible. No, he should be taken to the authorities. Yani, especially in the Muslim government, and there will be qisas. And this is the rule of Allah. And it should be established. Naam. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.